Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ah, listen to that. Nothing beats a vinyl.
Some technology just stands the test of time. Our technology not only brings the cool, it also brings the heat. At Mitsubishi Electric, we've been mastering and innovating heat pump technology since 1970. EcoDan, continued innovation in heating for home and business. Mitsubishi Electric, changes for the better.
Warning, each episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast will contain descriptions of acts of violence or of a sexual nature and are for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people.
Welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime. I'm your host, Woody Overton, and we want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening. Today, we're going to be talking about David and Christina Constance, a husband and wife team who raped children, including their own, but many different children for many years. In fact, David Constance, we found out through the course of the investigation, had been raping children for at least 25 years before he even met his wife, Christina. But I want to warn you that there's going to be a lot of graphic descriptions and sexual terms that were presented to me by the victims in this case or the suspects in this case. So it may be a little bit shocking to hear, but I'm just going to tell it to you as it was told to me. All right. So on February 1st, 2005, I was working as a detective with the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office. Our detective office was located in the Livingston Parish Courthouse in the town of Livingston, Louisiana. I came into the office and observed two ladies sitting across from my secretary, Tina Stafford. And Tina said, "Hey, Woody, these ladies need to talk to a detective. Do you have a moment for them?" And to be honest with you, I didn't. I was slammed. And at the time there was no specialized detective division in our office. I think we had 8 detectives total, and we worked everything from thefts to homicides and everything in between. And I was actually just returning to the office for a moment to grab another file to go in the field to arrest someone. But I could see the look on the ladies' faces, and I said, "Okay." There was nobody else in the office other than Tina. I introduced myself to him. I said, "Hey, I'm Woody Overton. I'm a detective." And one lady introduced herself as Miss Kimberly Domain, and the other introduced herself as Christina Constance. And Miss Domain told me, she said, "My friend Christina has something she wants to tell you, but she doesn't want to get in trouble for it." I said, "Well, okay, well, y'all come back into my office and have a seat." So we went into my office. They sat down across from me, and I said, "Okay, then what's going on? Tell me why I'm here." And Christina Constance, unsolicited, stated, she said, "My husband," and I asked her, "So who's your husband?" She said, "David Constance." She said, "My husband forced me to have sex with his nephew." And in the same breath, before I could say anything, I was, when I first heard her say, "Okay, well, my husband, you know, forced me to have sex with his nephew," I was thinking, well, you know, I really wasn't thinking the worst at that time, right? That was another juvenile sex case, basically, in my mind. But almost in the same breath, she followed that up with, "And he made me suck my 7-year-old son's dick." And I was like, "Oh, okay, stop and hold it right there." I said, "Don't say anything else. Miss Constance, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law." I said, "You have the right to an attorney prior to and during question. You can't afford one. The court will appoint one for you." I said, "Do you understand your rights?" And she stated that she did. I then asked Miss Domain to go sit in the outer office and wait. Came back and provided Christina Constance with the standard Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office Miranda rights, a written form in which I read out her rights again out loud from the form verbatim. And I had her sign and state that she understood her rights. And at the bottom of that form is a consent to question in part. And it states that Christina Constance consented to answer questions without a lawyer present. And she knew what she was doing, and no threats or promises had been made to her. And no type of coercion or anything was used. So once she signed those and dated them, I said, "Okay, you just have to start from the beginning." Right. So let me back up for a second and tell you, Christina Constance, I would have guessed she was around 30 years old. Turned out she was 29, but she was probably 5'10", a little heavy set, long black hair, not overly attractive, but not, you know, she wasn't a dog either, if you would. So and she was sitting there, she was just, I didn't get the sense that she was really worried about anything. And I come to find out later on, I think it was due to her low IQ, or I shouldn't say probably lower IQ than most normal people, but by no means to the level of retardation or anything like that. So I told her, I said, "Hey, Christina, tell me about you and your husband." She said, "Well, we've been married, but for the last month I've been living with Kimberly Domain, my friend who brought me here today." And I said, "Well, what made you come forward now to tell me about these things?" And she said, "Well, Kimberly's son, and I won't use his name because he was a juvenile at the time, but she said, Kimberly's son wrote me a note that said that my husband, David, told him he could fuck me," her words, not mine, "that he could fuck me, and he wanted to know when we could do it." She said that Kimberly Domain found the note and confronted her about it. And when she did, and she was mad at Christina, it's like, "What the hell is this? What's the deal here?" And Christina said, "Well, Clutch," or that's David Constance's nicknames, Clutch or Double Clutch, because he drove a dump truck. And she said, "Clutch forces me to have sex with kids." And she told Kimberly Domain about having sex with the Clutch's nephew, and about Clutch forcing her to suck her son's penis, 7-year-old son's penis. And Kimberly was like, "Hey, look, you got to tell somebody, you know, we got to go in. This isn't right." And Christina agreed. And so she came in freely and voluntarily. Now, I asked her, I said, how long have y'all been separated for? And she said, around a month. And because a lot of times in situations like this, people will come in and give false allegations. And I just want to see, you know, gauge her truth level, if you would. But so what I did, I told her, I said, Christina, what I want you to do is write out for me a statement as to what about you having sex with his nephew and about him forcing you to perform oral sex on your 7-year-old son. I said, while you're doing that, I'm going to make a couple phone calls and just sit right here. Nobody's going to bother you. And I'll be back in a few minutes. I then went out and I spoke with Miss Domain, and she confirmed that she found the note from her juvenile son to Christina saying, hey, Clutch said I could fuck you. And when can we do it? Miss Domain was The mom was pissed, right? Rightfully so. But she said, you know, she said, Christina's kind of simple. She said, you know, she's not retarded or anything like that, but she just, her IQ is not that high. She said she was very open with me and told me about those two instances. So I called the chief of detectives, Stan Carpenter, and then I called my partner, Brian Smith, and I told him, I say, hey, Brian, you got to come in. This was kind of going to be a shit show. I ran it down to him real quick what was happening. And I said, this guy, if he's been doing this, you know, you don't just start out sucking your own son's dick. He's obviously, it's going to be more in depth than this. So Brian came to the office, and by the time he got there, we went into my office and Christina had written up the statements, et cetera. And I introduced Brian and we went over, tell me what happened with the nephew. And Christina said that when they were living in Holden, Louisiana, that the nephew came over, and Clutch, David Constance, wanted her to fuck him. And to fuck the nephew. And he brought the nephew in the bedroom. He had Christina strip naked and get on the bed. And he was like, don't you want to fuck her? And the juvenile, his initials are TB, Tango Bravo. And TB, don't you want to fuck her? And he said no, that he was scared. And then TB went into the bathroom and he came back out. And David Constance was like, come on, you don't want to fuck her. You're a pussy. You don't want to fuck her. Look at it. She's naked. And then David Constance started to masturbate him through his pants, et cetera, and then forced him to undress and then get on the bed with Christina. And they laid side by side, and Christina stated that they started to kiss and French kiss, and then they were side by side and they had sexual intercourse, and that the boy didn't last that long and he ejaculated inside of her. I then asked her, I said, well, tell me about him forcing you to, you know, suck your son's penis. And you see, in cases like this, you can't let your emotions show naturally. This is hard to hear. I guess as an old detective, you become desensitized to it, but I'm looking at her. I'm engaging with eye contact, et cetera. Like I'm genuinely concerned and I'm on her side, if you will. And I'm conveying all this through body language and being in a non-threatening manner. And she stated that she woke up in her bed in the middle of the night because she felt movement in the bed, and that the 7-year-old son was in the middle of the bed. It was a big bed. She was on one side. The 7-year-old son was in the middle. And then David Constance was on the other side when he had gone to sleep. But she woke up because there was movement in the bed. She looks down and she sees David Constance performing oral sex. She said a blowjob. She said he was giving my son a blowjob. And when I said, what are you doing? She said that David grabbed her by the head of the hair and forced her down to her son's penis, erect penis, believe it or not, if a 7-year-old can get erect, but and forced her to perform oral sex on him. And where she says he forced me to suck his dick in until he was finished. So I told Christina, I stopped her and I said, look, we have some things that we're going to do. We're going to ask you to sit tight. And I said, I'm going to get a statement from Miss Domain, a written statement, and then send her home. And I said, you're not under arrest, but you know, we have to look into this. So I went out and had Brian get the statement from Ms. Domain, and we ran a criminal history on David Constance. The criminal history showed that he had been arrested and pled nolo contendi, which is basically guilty. You're not stating that you're guilty where you could be sued civilly. So he pled nolo contendi to contribute into delinquency of a juvenile. So based off Christina's constant statement that she observed her husband performing sex on their seven-year-old son, I obtained an arrest warrant for David Constance for aggravated rape, which in the state of Louisiana, aggravated rape is penetration, no matter how slight, whether it's oral, anal, or vaginal person. And then, I think at the time it was under 13 years of age. Now it's 12 years or under. And so we had that the arrest warrant made, and also obtained a search warrant for David Constance's residence because Christina stated that he did have some type of child porn or she believed that he had some type of child porn in the residence. And we went out, knocked on the door. It was a trailer in a trailer park. Knocked on the door, and there was a large Alaskan husky, almost looked like a wolf. I'll never forget it, but that was growling at the door, et cetera. And David Constance came to the door, and I observed him, and I thought, I mean, this guy looks like a little troll, right? I mean, certainly not handsome or anything like that, but he was short, a little bit of beard, a mustache, and just, I wouldn't even call him plain looking.
It's a season of giving back. That's why Kia is expanding our partnership with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and making a donation for every eligible new car purchase during the holidays through Kia's Accelerate the Good program. Kia, movement that inspires.
Kia will donate $8 for every new Kia vehicle that is purchased or leased at authorized Kia dealerships and delivered to retail customers between November 11, 2022 and December 31, 2022, with a guaranteed minimum donation of $1 million to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. See kia.com/seasonofgivingback for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If not ugly. But say he opened the door and went in and told us, I see you, David Constance. He said, yes, my name is Woody Overton. You're under arrest for aggravated rape of the 7-year-old juvenile. And he was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, et cetera. My wife left a month ago. She's just trying to do this to get back at me, et cetera. So I stopped him. I said, listen, man, I advise him, it's Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to and during questioning. You can't afford one, a court appoint one for you. And I said, I'm not trying to question you at this time. So we're going to, we have a search warrant for your residence. And then we'll be taking you in to book you. And if you want to give a statement, you can give a statement at that time. And so we searched the residence. We found stuff. We didn't find any. We found some computers and things like that that would have to be sent off for analysis. And you know, we found some porn, like barely legal teen hustler magazines and stuff like that, but nothing that was outright obvious child porn. But we took him in, and he kept stating that this was all his wife trying to get back at him, and he didn't know what she was talking about, et cetera. And we booked him on the charge. Then we continued our interview with Christina Constance and discovered that they had been having sex with, they had had sex or some type of sexual contact, molestation with 13 different kids since they had been married, just since David and Christina had been married. And that these kids, a lot of them now, because it's been going on for so long, a lot of them now would have been adults. So it was our job to find the ones who weren't adults yet and get them to what we call a CAC, or Child Advocacy Center forensic interview, in which the victim or alleged victim would go in and have a trained professional forensic child interviewer find out, or if the child will talk, find out what what did or didn't happen in the case. But our problem was that this case was so massive because there were so many different potential victims and so many different parishes spread all throughout Louisiana that what happened was David Constance's MO or his modus operandi was he would befriend families that were very, very poor. And whenever he had moved to a new town, he'd find a family that had kids in the age range he liked to offend against. And he would befriend them and come good friends with the parents and then take the kids for candy or hamburgers or whatever. And then eventually lead up to where the kids would come spend the night at his house and where he had more control and he would groom his victims as it went along and ultimately lead up to the sexual acts. But so he used his position and his friendship with these families. And these people, some of them are just simple salt of the earth people. None of them were educated. And most of them didn't have jobs, et cetera. And so when David Constance would come in and buy their kids things or buy them the family meals and stuff like that. And then when he offered to take the kids for the whole weekend, I mean, that was a great break for the family, right? So that's 2 or 3 days that they wouldn't have to worry about feeding their kids. I mean, that's just how poor they were. And I mean, these families must have thought they hit the jackpot when, you know, Clutch shows up and starts buying meals and taking the family places, et cetera. And now I'll go into more detail in a little bit on some of the specific victims' families, but I say they're short of being homeless. There's no way a person could be poor, and there's no way that the general consensus of the victims, no way they could be any less educated. I mean, just most of them were on disability. All of them were every one of them was on welfare or public assistance, et cetera. So we go back. And like I said, we're talking to Christina Constance, and we start a general timeline of what happened and how she came to know David Constance, et cetera. And it turned out that David was with Christina's older sister in a relationship when he was 18 and Christina was approximately, I think, 9 or 10 years old. And David started having sex with Christina, or actually they were raping her.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, right? Boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different for Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she preferred to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house, and when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard, and when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When she was that age, and it went on until she was 14 or 15, and David Constance had Christina convinced that they were in love, et cetera, and they actually ran away together in 1991. And that's when he was arrested, I think it was in Texas, and brought back on the charges of numerous charges of child rape, et cetera, kidnapping, which they pleaded down. Great legal system, pled it down to one count of contributing to a delinquency of a juvenile, to which he pled no low contendee, and that's it. So they went on from there, and I guess the family dropped it because they figured she was old enough and as a teenager or whatever. I don't know. I don't understand it, but the certainly, I know for a fact just to the profile, that type of pedophile. He didn't just start out with Christina. He probably had been molesting people for years before that. And then he used his relationship with Christina's older sister to have her in age range that he liked to offend against. And he was able to groom her and bring her along. And then when they ultimately end up getting married, the crimes escalated, and he groomed her into bringing other kids into the situation. And we were able to find 13 victims that were still juveniles, but Christina counted for over 20 victims that they had had some type of molestation or rape or intercourse with or inappropriate actions with since they had been together, since they had been married. So our partner and I, Brian Smith, were faced with a huge dilemma and a huge task of trying to find all these victims or alleged possible victims. Now, you remember when people are this poor, like the one family I'm going to tell you about, they move like almost every month. But because either they'll lose a little job they might have had for a couple of weeks, or they move into a new place and they can't afford it, so they get evicted and they move from parish to parish. And a lot of times a lot of the victims were even out of state. We had no way of finding them. So some of them, Christina couldn't even tell us who the names were. She just had forgotten. It was such a large number of kids that they did this with. And it was boys and girls that they raped. It didn't matter to them. And David Constance, Double Clutch, used Christina as bait in most cases, or used her to facilitate these rapes. And so my partner and I scheduled Child Advocacy Center interviews for the 13 victims that we found in all the different parishes, et cetera. And during the CAC interviews, a child is brought in and they're not introduced to the police. And they get straight into the room with a forensic interviewer, and it's set up like a little playroom. They'll have stuffed animals and coloring books, et cetera, and toys on the floor. And they let the kid go in and play for a little bit. And they talk until them, not about anything sexual, what have you, at first. And then they begin the interview where the interviewer introduces herself and then says, this is where I work. And then, do you know what I do? And you have to remember these victims that we had, the 13 that we had were anywhere from like 9 years old up to 17 years old. And so each one was done independently, and the interviewer had to take a different approach to each one. Like on the younger children, they would say, okay, do you know what it is, the difference between telling a lie or telling the truth? And kid would say yes. And she said, okay, so if I told you the walls in this room were brown, would that be a lie or the truth? And the walls were yellow. So the kid would say, no, that would be a lie. And she said, why would that be a lie? And the child would say, because the walls are yellow. And it'd be okay. And then each interview starts out this way, where they establish a baseline and that the child understands the truth.
So they go through the process, and then the interviewer will say, okay, so do you know what it is that I do here? And the child would either say yes or no. And then the interviewer would explain that their job was to talk to children who sometimes may have had something bad happen to them or not. And then that it was a safe place, and they could use whatever words they wanted to use if they had anything to say. And then you weren't going to get any trouble for anything that you said or you know, didn't say. But the one thing that they wanted them to do was just be truthful. And so generally they would start out with something like, tell me what your name is, and when were you born? Where do you live? Who lives with you? And then they ask them, do you know why you're here today? And that's generally where the child would open up and begin to give the details of the crime. Now, law enforcement, or we would be in another room monitoring the interview through a closed caption television system, and we had one-way communication with the interviewer. Okay, so if there was something that they left out at the interview or during the middle of the interview, if there's something that came up that we need to know about from our investigative standpoint, we could speak to the interviewer, and they had an earpiece in and they could hear it. But anyway, they would start in and they were walking through it, and they never asked any leading questions. It's simply letting the child state what did or didn't happen, and they would follow it up with repeating what it is that the child said. And so, okay, so what you're telling me is this, this, and this happened. And the child would be like, yes. And then they may say something like, did anything else happen? And the child would say yes or no. And if it was yes, then can you tell me about that? And then they would go on. At the end of the interviews, the children would leave with their guardians or parents or whomever it was. And we would speak with them based off the interview. We as detectives could go and sign a warrant. If we felt there was enough probable cause and the child was being truthful, we could go get a warrant signed and go arrest the person ourselves, or we could refer it to the district attorney and they could take it to the grand jury and let the grand jury vote whether or not they believe there was enough evidence to get an arrest warrant. Or we would tell them, we'd send it to the grand jury if we didn't believe there was anything there and we weren't going to get on the warrants, we'd send it to the grand jury and let the grand jury come back and say, no, there's nothing here, or there's not enough here to move forward. So what I'm going to do now is tell you about four of the CAC interviews that are relevant to this case. So back to the Child Advocacy Center interviews, my partner, Detective Brian Smith, and I scheduled the interviews through the family members and the CASA worker. First one we did was Christina's juvenile son, who was approximately 9 years old at the time of the interview. We're going to use his initials. They are JK. JK was no longer living with Christina and hadn't been for some time. Christina's sister, who's married and had children of her own, she was a nurse, a very nice lady, and he had gone to live with her full time. So she was the one we actually scheduled to bring JK in for the interview at the Child Advocacy Center in Livingston, Louisiana. And he arrived, and the forensic interviewer was Jennifer Nolan, who's an absolutely fantastic children and fantastic interviewer. Probably out of the hundreds of interviews I've listened to, she's just by far, hands down, the best with children, period. And so she greeted JK and brought him into the room and went through the how to tell the difference between right and wrong, et cetera, the whole basic spiel that's done on every victim or alleged victim. And then she asked him, JK, do you know why you're here? And he said, yes, because of what Clutch did to me. And she said, well, what did Clutch do to you? JK stated that Clutch, or David Constance, would touch his privates or make JK touch David's privates. And when he said privates, Jennifer asked him, what do you mean by that? And she had a diagram of a child. It's just on a piece of paper. It's not colorized or anything. It's just the outline of a human being or a child. And she said, can you show me on the papers where you mean privates? And he circled where the penis would be. And then she said, okay, so how did he touch you there? And he stated that almost every day from when he was 7 to 9 years old, that Clutch touched his private parts with his hands and mouth. He stated that Clutch put his private in JK's mouth. JK also said that Clutch made him touch Clutch's privates with his hands and mouth. And he went into more details about the different times, like, because Jennifer would say, okay, and where were you when this one happened? And was anybody else home and stuff like that? He never stated the incident about his mother giving him oral sex when they were in the bed with David, but he went into really graphic detail for almost.
It's a season of giving back. That's why Kia is expanding our partnership with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and making a donation for every eligible new car purchase during the holidays through Kia's Accelerate the Good program. Kia, movement that inspires.
Kia will donate $8 for every new Kia vehicle that is purchased or leased at authorized Kia dealerships and delivered to retail customers between November 11, 2022 and December 31, 2022, with a guaranteed minimum donation of $1 million to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. See kia.com/seasonofgivingback for details.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a
10-year-old can do for traumatic event, right? So I'm sitting in the room with my partner watching this. And I just want to go kill this guy. This kid is in he was in the fourth grade at this time, straight A student since he got out of the house with his mom and moved in with his aunt. You know, straight A student, very well spoken, you can see his intelligence level probably far surpassed that of his mother, Christina Constance. Anyway, he just was a little sweet boy. And to listen to him tell about how Clutch would put his penis in his mouth over and over again and until white stuff would come out in his mouth. Yeah, it was tough to listen to. Certainly not my first child rape case, but you know, you listen to it and you go through. And it's just probably too many instances for JK to remember, but he gave enough different varied accounts of different places in the trailer where it would happen, et cetera. You know, he was crying a little bit. It was hard for him to talk about. And then towards the end of the interview, Jennifer said, JK, is there anything else that happened like that? And he said, no. And he'd calmed down. He wasn't crying anymore. And she said, well, is there anything else bad that happened to you when you lived there with him? And I'll never forget this as long as I live. JK started just breaking down, crying again. And I was like, oh, God, what's he going to say? You know, did he Ainley raped him or something? He was just as distraught about what he was about to say as about all the oral sex that he had had to give or receive from David Constance. And she said, you know, it's okay, JK, you can tell me what it is. And he said, well, when we lived at the trailer in Holden, evidently there was a lot of people that lived there, like 8 or 9 of them. Clutch was paying for this other family, some relatives to live there also. So when we lived in Holden, every time it came time to eat, he said, I was always hungry. And she said, why? And he said, because every time it came time for meal, for supper time, Clutch would make me go out in the yard and pick up his cigarette butts. And I couldn't come in to eat until I got done picking up his cigarette butts. And he said, by the time I got in inside to eat, all the food was gone. He said, I was always hungry. And he's crying, right? And you could tell, I mean, it's a really hard thing for him. And I guess in his young mind, that I mean, he doesn't know the difference about rape and everything that happened to him. But so the interview ended. Ryan Smith and I went out and met with the sister, the one that's a nurse that has him that in the family. And I pulled him to the side and I said, hey, look, he stated these different sex acts happen, et cetera. And I said, you know, at the very end, when she asked him, was there anything else? He started crying and told about how he never got to eat because there were so many people that lived in the house, and Clutch would make him go outside and pick up his cigarette butts, and he couldn't have any food until he got done picking up cigarette butts out of the yard, that Clutch would sit around all day and smoke and flick the butts out in the yard. So by the time he got in to eat, there was no food left for him. So he was always hungry. And she started crying. The sister did. She said, oh my God. She said, I noticed when he first moved in with me that he was stealing food from the table. And I didn't know why. And she said, you know, I didn't confront him about it, but she said, I was cleaning his room and I looked under his bed and there was a pile of food hidden under his bed by the back post. The bedpost that was against the wall. And she said, now I know why, because he never knew when he was going to get to eat again. So that was a very real concern for this young child. And then that sticks with me to this day. Even when I smoked, I would never flick a cigarette butt out of my own yard, right? What kind of asshole does that to a little kid? But the JK was that family, and they're taking him in. He's a straight A student, and they have every Friday they have family night, which is they play board games and order in pizzas and stuff like that. So but overall, he had recovered as a lot of – he bounced back, I guess you would say, when put in the right environment. We did a lot of CAC interviews. I think, like I told you earlier, 13 different victims. And the TB, juvenile TB, which is the nephew, I told you about that when he came in and said the same thing. It was Jennifer Nolan that did it, and they went through the process, and he stated that Clutch would invite him over to eat or take him to get a hamburger or say, hey, TB, you want to take a ride in my dump truck? He was like, yeah. He thought that was the coolest thing. Then he'd give him like $20 to wash his dump truck and stuff like that. And then technically, Constance was doing as a pedophile, was grooming this kid and setting him up. And then he said that one day, he brought him inside the house and he said, hey, you want to fuck Christina? And he said, no, I don't want to. And, you know, I don't want to fuck her. And Clutch started harassing him, saying, calling him a pussy. And he's saying lots of ugly and mean, threatening things to him and calling him a fag and a homo. And then had Christina go in the bedroom and get naked on the bed. And he brought him in there and he started rubbing on him through his pants. And the TB said he was scared. You know, he was frightened. But he said he wanted to go to the bathroom. So he went to the bathroom. He said he was looking for a window to jump out of. And there wasn't one. The trailer window in the bathroom was too small for him to get out of. So he knew he had to come back out. And when he did, Clutch forced him to take his clothes off and then get on the bed and have sex with Christina. And he stated that he got on the bed, like I said earlier, and, you know, they started kissing and they were laying side by side naked and then they had sex. It's the same profile on how Clutch, even that he was related to him as his nephew, it's the same thing. It was a poor family. The TB's father was poor. I think he was disabled, et cetera. So anytime he would get to go over to Clutch's house, it was a big deal, and it was an ease of burden on the family. So that, again, this is the same profile. The next two victims I want to talk about, initials are JF, who's white female juvenile, and KF. And they were very, very poor. And they, I think in the time that this case went on and we spoke to them and went to visit them later on with the district attorney, et cetera. They lived in like five different residences and they had nothing. And the family members were like mentally handicapped and the parents and stuff like that, the public assistance, welfare, what have you. But they were sweet kids, and their brother and sister.
KF was the brother. JF was the younger sister.
And they stated that numerous years ago that Clutch had befriended their family and started buying food for them and then taking the kids places and stuff like that. So, in fact, KF stated at one point that David Constance actually lived with their family for a short period of time. And then after he moved out, he would come get KF and get him to spend the weekend with him at wherever it was he was living at the time with Christina. And during this time, he said that David Constance made KF suck David's dick, Clutch's dick, and that Clutch would suck KF's dick. This is all during the CAC interview. And so he's saying the words, right? He's a very poorly educated, simple child. I mean, he wasn't a child. He was a bit older, a young teenager, I guess, 14, 15. And he said it happened all the time and that Clutch made him fuck Christina. And that would happen every time. And he said, one time that Clutch pinned him to the wall and put his dick in his butt. And he said it hurt. He said, but I kept clenching my butt to make his dick pop out. And when he was holding me against the wall, he said, I kept telling Clutch, it hurts and don't do that to me. But he kept doing it anyway, until Clutch came or finished. And this happened, you know, over a long period of time. Now, JF, KF's little sister, started staying with them at some point in 2005
on the weekends.
When JF came in for her CASA interview, she maybe 11 years old, something like that, flat chested. I mean, she looks like a child, right? And she stated that in 2005, she'd gone to spend the night at Clutch's house in Livingston, and Christina was there, and that they took her into the back bedroom, and he took her pants off and put his penis inside of her. She didn't say penis. She said, put his dick inside of me. And she said, it hurt and made my bottom hurt real bad. And Christina watched the whole thing. And she kept telling him, she said, I was crying. I kept telling him to stop, but he kept doing it. And she related several more instances, including that Christina and her put on a lingerie show for Clutch. That Christina actually took her in the room once.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I said, let's try on these panties, just try on this bra, and let's go model them for Clutch. And it ended up that Clutch performed some type of sex act on her and had Christina do the same thing in orally and tried to penetrate her again vaginally, et cetera. So the list of victims and the CAC interviews just go on and on and on. Like I said, we did 13, approximately 13 that I know of that I can remember. And it basically was always the same story that David Constance got them over and alone with Christina, and either they both had sex with the kid, or like one female juvenile evidently was already sexually active and she had sex with Christina. And when David tried to join in, he got mad because she wouldn't let him. She was like 14. She was willing to have sex with Christina, but not with David. And it just went on and on. There's other family members that he did. And like I said, even Christina, he started raping her when he was dating her older sister. So there were 13 that were still juveniles. This is the reason I'm telling you this, and it'll become clear in a minute. 13 different juveniles that we were able to draw up warrants for and charge but David and Christina Constance, either singularly or in joint on the charges for what they did to these kids. And we kept piling on the charges, as you can imagine. These interviews took, I think we worked like 30 or 45 days straight, just doing CAC interviews and finding witnesses, et cetera. And so during this time, the district attorney, the assistant district attorney assigned to the case, his name was Leanne Malnar. And I was keeping her briefed on the case as it went along. And because the aggravated rape charges had to go before the grand jury. In the state of Louisiana, aggravated rape can carry up to the death penalty, which in the history of the state of Louisiana, there's only been one person that's ever been charged with the death penalty for raping a child under 13. So this was potentially a landmark case, and the fact that we had this wide range of victims, many different jurisdictions, et cetera. But the briefing, Brian and I, my partner, would brief Leanne on a regular basis. And once we wrapped it up, it became time to bring it to the grand jury. Even though we had probable cause to make the arrest warrants and charge them with things that we did, there were a lot more charges that the district attorney wanted the grand jury to weigh in on because of the life imprisonment. Aggravated rape is going to either be life in prison without parole or the death penalty. Aggravated rape of a child or a person, an elderly person, that doesn't apply in this case. So anyway, we're talking to Leanne and she's all fired up. She was pretty new as a prosecutor. I think she was very intelligent, but this is her first big case in. So it came time 2 days before the grand jury, and I was in her office. She said, look, I'm meeting with Scott Perilou, who's the district attorney for the 21st Judicial, and Charlotte, who was Charlotte Hebert at the time. She's now a judge in Livingston. She said, I'm meeting with them tomorrow. We're going to discuss the death penalty and you know, before we go to the grand jury the next day. In my mind, and Brian's mind, is like, you know, this is a slam dunk, right? We got all these kids saying this, and we have all the CAC interviews, et cetera. And she said, well, we'll call you tomorrow for the meeting. All day went the next day, and I never got a call from him. So the following morning at 9 o'clock, the grand jury convenes. Now, grand jury is a secret meeting of 12 people, and nobody knows what their names are. It's not on the record, et cetera. And what they do is the district attorney will present a case to the grand jury to find out if there's enough evidence to proceed with an indictment or to carry it to trial. And the grand jury simply listens to the evidence and they will recommend, yes, there is enough to true bill this perpetrator. True bill meaning, yes, we find there's enough evidence to take this to trial, or they'll no bill it, and then basically saying that this, we don't believe it and there's not enough evidence here. So I was puzzled because I kept trying to call Leanne the day before about the meeting and never got her, et cetera. And that morning at 8:45, I was outside the grand jury room and Leanne comes up with Charlotte. Now, Charlotte Hebert was just bulldog with bulldogs, right? She's the head prosecutor, not the district attorney itself, but the number one prosecutor for the 21st Judicial. And anytime there was any type of death penalty case or anything major like that, she was always the lead chair, and she's simply probably the best prosecutor I ever saw work in a courtroom, work a jury, et cetera, and murder trials and what have you. So she comes up with Charlotte and she said, hey, we want to talk to you for a minute. I'm like, cool. So we go in. I said, we're going for the death penalty. And Charlotte says, no, we're not going for the death penalty, and we're not going for any aggravated rapes. We're going to drop it all down to sexual batteries and attempted sexual batteries. It said, we do not want you, Woody, to say anything about aggravated rape or incest or anything like that. And I was like, bullshit. You know, I didn't say that out loud, but I was thinking, you ditched me all day yesterday because you know the amount of time and work that we put on this and the amount of victims that we have, just the ones that we interview. And this guy's been getting away with this for 25 years. And now you're telling me you're going to hamstring me before we go in for the grand jury. And I can only present a couple cases and I can't say aggravated rape on any of them. I was thinking, fuck you, watch and see. So we go in and they introduce me to
the grand jury, and it starts out, you get sworn in. It starts out, they ask you who you are and where you're employed, et cetera. And they said, okay, on February 1, 2005, did you meet Christina Constance? I said, yes, I did. And they said, what's, tell us facts about the case. Well, this is a time when I didn't hold anything back. As far as I was concerned, they could fire me. They could take my badge. They could take my gun, but they weren't going to take my honor. Not on this case. I went in and I laid out the whole story from A to Z, even though Leanne tried to cut me off several times. I kept going and I said, and we charged them with the aggravated rape. This one, I explained the acts as the children explained them, right? So all the gory details. Now you have to remember, on a jury or a grand jury, either one in a courtroom or a secret grand jury, these are regular people. These are people who get up and go to work every day and have jobs. And they have children and grandchildren or brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews, you know, and they don't hear shit like we did every day. So when I'm in there talking about all these kids getting raped and the husband and wife doing them together and they're doing their own kids and everybody else's kids, I mean, they were like three ladies that were crying openly. One man, I thought he was going to have a heart attack. He was so red in the face. And the guy that was sitting to my left at the end of the table was furious. Finally, about, I wasn't even halfway through with the story, he slams his hands down on the table. He says, Detective Overton, I want to know how this son of a bitch has been getting away with this for 25 years. And he was arrested way back then. And all these years, he raped all these kids and nobody knew about it. And nobody did anything about it. How's he been getting away with it all these years? And I stopped him. I said, you know what, sir? I turned and I looked at Leanne and Charlotte, the assistant district attorneys, and said, that is a really good question on how to, our legal system can drop stuff like this to lower charges than it is. Like, you know, in 1991, he was only charged with contributing to the delinquency of a juvenile when actually he had been raping the kid. I said, why don't you ask the district attorney that's sitting right here how this happens in cases like this? Charlotte, to say that she was probably a little bit mad at me is an understatement. She stood up and she stopped. She said, okay, look, y'all, the stop. I want to take a break at this point. We're going to call a recess and, you know, y'all can go to the bathroom or whatever. I'll be back in a few minutes. And I knew she was pissed, and Leanne followed her out. And they came back. They were gone for like 35, 40 minutes. And when they came back, they called me in the hallway. And Charlotte said, Woody, just got off the phone with Scott, the district attorney, Scott Perley. And she said, I told him how upset the people were, et cetera. She said, we're going to go for 4 counts of aggravated rape. And she said, but we're only going to do 4, the 4 victims, TB, Christina's son, and JF and KF. And so I said, that's fine. I mean, I'm good with that. I mean, how many life sentences? Oh, she said no death penalty, right? To make it clear, to put somebody to death, and it actually costs more money to put a person to death than it does to house them for life, because of the cost of appeals. It runs like $3 or $4 million over 18 to 25 year span average, the appeals process. So they sit on death row for all these years, and whatever parish it is, Louisiana, we have parishes, not counties. Whatever parish it is that gets the conviction has to pay for the entire process, appeals process. So and I understand their point on that, on not going for the death penalty. It had never been done before. Only one person had been charged with it, and it wasn't successful. So they said, we'll go for 4 counts of aggravated rape. And so we went back in. I presented those 4 cases. I told them we were changing it. And I asked them for these 4 victims, for TB, Christina's son, and JF and KF. And I presented those 4 and I walked out. And naturally, they came back and fully indicted them, true billed them. And then we went to trial. And God, the whole process, I think it had to be a record speed time. I think it was maybe 9 to 11 months, first arrest to
to the time that we went to trial. Sometime before the trial began, Liam Malinar, the assistant district attorney, wanted to meet the victims that were taking the trial. So we went and met with TB, and of course she met with Christina's son. And then we went to meet with JF and KF. And they had moved, JF and KF's parents had moved again. So it was a real chore of actually finding them. And the only way we found them was through Department of Social Services. We found out where they were receiving their welfare at, food stamps, and went to meet them. And it was a little bitty, like single trailer, almost no furniture in it. At the time, Liam was like 8 months pregnant, or maybe even more. She was about to give birth, right? So we go in. And I introduced her to the kids and to the family and everything. And the such simple, good people, but in telling you how they think and how their thought process works, their mother was like, "Oh Lord, we love you, Mr. Woody. And we love you. And we're so glad to see you again. And that double clutch, he sure was something. And I never let nobody touch my babies again. My babies will never go stay with anybody again, ever, Mr. Woody. I'm telling you, ever." She said, "Unless you want to bring them to your house, Mr. Woody, they can go stay with you. I like you. You know, we trust you." And I was like, "Oh, God." In the middle of it, little JF looks at, she's staring at Leanne and Leanne's pregnant stomach. And she says, "Miss Leanne." And Leanne turned to me and said, "Yeah." She says, "Miss Leanne." She said, "Yeah, Jeff, go ahead." And she said, "I got a question for you." And she said, "What's that, Jeff?" She said, "Is that Mr. Woody's baby in your belly?" And I about fell out on the floor laughing. And I don't think Leanne turned beet red. She was like, "No, that's my husband's baby in my belly." So just, like I said, good salt of the earth people. Who don't know anybody, and just absolutely the profile of the victims that David Double Clutch Constance preyed upon. You know, the people who really, I mean, he must have felt like a mental giant compared to them, like Einstein in a room full of kindergartners or something. And when we went to trial, they had the Honorable Judge Beth Wolf, who is... She is something. She had, that year prior, she had just been elected judge, and I watched her in court one afternoon when they bring the prisoners in, and these are people rearrested for whatever charges or being sentenced for whatever charges and pleading out to whatever charges. I watched Judge Beth Wolf give away more years in prison sentences one afternoon than all the other judges in my entire career I'd seen other than life without charged cases. I watched her give away more years to bad guys than any other judge I'd ever seen. So we've got a trial. Judge Beth Wolf is a judge, and they pick the jury, and we go through, and I testified. And then, of course, I was sequestered, which means I couldn't be in the courtroom, but the four kids came in and testified, and some other witnesses. I was able to come back in for the closing arguments, and it took the judge gave the jury their instructions, and they went to deliberate, right? Then they have a deputy that stands outside the door to guard the jury from whatever, or anybody from intruding or interfering with the jury. And they were gone for less than 35 minutes, I think, total. And everybody was shocked. Never had a verdict come back this fast. And it came back, and the jury found David Constance guilty on all four counts of aggravated rape. And Judge Beth Wolf sentenced him to life without parole to Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. And he got four life sentences. So. And afterwards, the deputy that was standing outside the door, he said, "Woody, it took them longer to pick a jury foreman once the jury was retired to vote on the case." He said, "I've been doing this a long time." He said, "I was listening through the door." He said, "It took them longer to pick the jury foreman than it did to convict David Constance." He said, "It took one vote." And then he said, "Then they didn't want to come out too fast, so they sat around for a few minutes talking." But it was, you know, it was slam dunk all the way, as it should be. Now, Christina Constance, I think, eventually ended up to pleading to
like taken like 20 years. They dropped it down so it wouldn't be another trial. I think she took 20 years. And the funny thing about it is, when going back to talking about her mentality, et cetera, is she used to send me a letter every year at Christmas time addressed to the sheriff's office from prison asking me, but please make sure her kids had good Christmas presents. So, I mean, just and going on, hey, Detective Overton, how are you doing? Hope you're well. I'm doing fine. I know it's Christmas time coming up again. And if you would, can you please make sure my kids have good Christmas presents? So, and that's a little anecdote there, but it just goes to show you the mentality of her.
And so David Constance goes to Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola for four consecutive life sentences. So he should die there. And that leaves us with a part of a program we like to call the sphincter scale. And on that scale, one sphincter is barely even a bad guy, and 10 is the worst of the worst. David Constance gets our first 10 sphincters, and he is truly, truly the worst of the worst. And I truly believe he should have gotten the death penalty. If anybody ever, the intent of the law was ever written for anybody to have it, it should have been him, but due to his lifelong rapes and destroying kids' lives. And Christina Constance, I would give her 7.5 out of 10 on the sphincter scale. And the reason that for the 7.5 is due to the fact that she was groomed from the time that she can remember, but certainly before she was a teenager, by Constance, and of her lower mental IQ. And, you know, I don't want to say totally she's a product of her environment. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with that. But, you know, anyone who sucks their 7-year-old's penis just still deserves at least 7.5 sphincters. And with that, we'd like to thank y'all for listening and hope you enjoyed this broadcast. www.reallifeRealCrime.com. Hit us up and let us know what you think. And leave us your rating, what you think David Double Clutch Constance and Christina Constance should get on the sphincter scale. And we'll respond. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. Good night.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
New on Curiosity Stream, hidden in the heart of Africa, a once vibrant, surprisingly advanced world. Sound familiar? Marvel at the real-life genius of early African civilizations on Lost Kingdoms of Africa. Plus, it's penguins. Grab your tuxedo and march this way. We're celebrating our favorite fish frenzy flightless birds. Everyone's doing the waddle. I'm Penguin Party. Watch now on Curiosity Stream. And for a limited time, get 40% off our annual plan. That's just $1 a month. Visit curiositystream.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.